to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is Chris again. I am here for another NXT review. It is February 5th, Wednesday. Interesting show, you know. Only thing leading into this show that they had discussed was going to be Jordan Devlin showing, which I'm very excited about. Like I mentioned before in previous shows, saw him in the original TakeOver Blackpool a year ago, and then see him again in Blackpool 2 Worlds Collide. And then you had Bianca Belair. Seeing her in the Royal Rumble was fantastic. She was here to confront Rhea Ripley, or just show and you know, just have a stare down. That was what they were supposed to do. And then, of course, Rhea Ripley kind of does her own thing on Monday, and we'll get to that in a second. Just want to give you a heads up. Thank you for the follows that I've gotten on Twitter in relation to the show. People who like wrestling, people who follow wrestling at the WWE Podcast. You can catch me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. If you have not, please feel free to go on there, write any questions, comments, anything, good, bad, whatever, doesn't matter. Put stuff on there. Also, you can find me on Twitch at @TheCOPlaceToGo. Still streaming randomly, some games here and there, and doing some just chatting on there as well. So appreciate everyone who's listening wherever you're listening from. It's a great experience. And I hope to talk to everybody at some point via Twitter. This week in wrestling, I just mentioned what happened on Raw. You had Rhea Ripley show up and basically, almost in essence, tell Charlotte Flair to challenge me. That's basically what I took out of that meeting. You know, and there were some rumbles about that, that those were the two that were going to face each other. I know there's talk about Becky Lynch facing Shayna Baszler, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I figured that it would be more Ronda Rousey coming back. You never know. It's still possible. That's not what's in the cards. The way they look at it now, does Ronda Rousey come back and cost Becky Lynch the championship with Shayna Baszler winning? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in WrestleMania? That's 2 months. It's insane. 2 months, a little less than 2 months. Which does hurt my feelings. This will be the first WrestleMania that I'm going to miss. I'm also going to miss the TakeOver that week, and I will be actually on a camping trip. I will not be around. And when I saw those dates, I was like, those dates sound really familiar. And then looking into it more, I realized it's WrestleMania in Tampa, where I grew up, in the Tampa area, I should say I grew up. But it is in Tampa. Very excited about that, and I'm really happy for the area getting it. I plan on going down there. But then moving out to Vegas here, it was very, kind of changed some of the trips and the plans that I had. But should be a great show. Other things from Monday Night Raw, you had Ruby Riott showing back up attacking Liv Morgan. You had Ricochet winning the match to determine who's going to face Brock Lesnar at Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia. I'm kind of disappointed that they're going back to Saudi Arabia so soon. I thought it was just a once-a-year thing. It's turned into two, and who knows, this year with doing it so early, it could be three times in this year. Well, Ricochet wins that, and he gets attacked by Lesnar immediately after. You know, there's about a 0% chance that Ricochet wins at Super Showdown. Lesnar will go over. I just hope it's not a squash match. I hope there's a little bit of offense by Ricochet. I hope he gets to do and showcase some of his talents at the event. And just some random news in wrestling. Well, you have WWE signed Killer Kross and Timothy Thatcher. What I know about Thatcher is that he used to team with Walter. He used to be an Evolve. He was an Evolve champion. Killer Kross, I know that name. I don't know a lot about Killer Kross. Heard he's fantastic. Heard he's a great indie talent. I know he is, I don't know if he's married or just dating Scarlett Bordeaux, who is in WWE at this point. And so they're both going to be there. That's huge. Looking forward to him. He's a big dude, 6'3", about 250. You know, pretty big guy. Next, I saw something, and I don't know how true this is. I saw this, I want to say, on Monday night. Maybe it was yesterday, but I'm pretty sure it was Monday. Sting is possibly cleared. I know there was some talk of trying to get him to wrestle at Super Showdown, but he said he's interested in one match, and that match is against The Undertaker. Does that match happen at WrestleMania? I'm going to assume that it does. What saddens me about that whole thing is if it were to happen at WrestleMania, which, you know, it would, because this would be the first WrestleMania I miss in probably, what are we now, 36, in probably, let's see, I've seen every WrestleMania since minimally about 16, about 17, I think. So yeah, about 20 years, I've seen just about every single WrestleMania. I might have missed one or been late to watching one or something like that, but I've caught a little bit of it as it's going on live. At this point, you know, kind of like Ricochet at Super Showdown against Brock Lesnar, I have a 0% chance of catching this WrestleMania, as we already have plans to go camping. So if Sting and Undertaker happens, you know, I wanted to see that 20 years ago. That would have been fantastic. You know, two of the most polarizing figures on their brand, two of the dark figures, like kind of the mystery and the, you know, the lore of both of who they were. Sting more, obviously, when he became like the Crow version of Sting, but Undertaker, as he's pretty much always been, minus the biker years, of course, but Undertaker being Undertaker would be huge, and I'm really looking forward to that. Then the next thing is Goldberg. Goldberg's going to be on SmackDown. What is he getting, another $2 million payday, or who knows what he's getting to wrestle in Saudi Arabia? I have a feeling that's what that relates to. Who's he going to wrestle? Who knows? I definitely know it's not going to be The Undertaker again. They're not going to risk that. It was an embarrassment last time. But, you know, I'm going to blame a lot of it. Of course, as Undertaker being my famous wrestler, or favorite wrestler, I don't want to, you know, put any, you know, big blame on him. He is, you know, undoubtedly one of the most famous wrestlers from the heyday, from the Attitude Era, you know, who are still going. I mean, obviously there's Triple H, you know, and you got Goldberg right around those times. But, you know, in terms of WWE, it's Triple H and The Undertaker. And, you know, Undertaker's not to not blame, but I would say Goldberg getting knocked out in that match the last time he was there, I think, you know, he came out and he destroyed Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam. Now, what's going to happen here? Who is he going to face? Whoever it is, I think has to be somebody who can carry a good match, because Goldberg does have, you know, a limited move set, and, you know, being an older dude, he's got, you know, I don't want to say he has endurance issues, but, you know, fatigue and stamina are at a premium. So you're going to have Goldberg, in my opinion, saying on SmackDown he's going to wrestle again in Saudi Arabia, which I'm super surprised about, especially after everything that happened last time with the plane being held on the runway for whatever reason. You know, of course, there's different views of what happened and things like that, but I'm looking forward to it. I just feel like they're putting a lot of shows. What is it, the end of this month? I think it is. 11 days from now is TakeOver Portland. You know, I feel like there's been, what, you have Worlds Collide, Royal Rumble, TakeOver Portland, and the Super Showdown, potentially all within 1 month of each other. And that's a lot of wrestling. You know, you got three shows a week, and then you're going to have four pay-per-views in 31 days. Seems absolutely insane to me. We're going to move on to our birthday, and then we're going to get into NXT. Only birthday today is Madison Rain, turns 34, best known for being in... She was in Shimmer, but best known for being in TNA / Impact Wrestling, multi-time champion in TNA. She also competed in the 2018 Mae Young Classic. She's married to Josh Matthews. Josh Matthews of former announcing glory for WWE, who I believe he is still in TNA, if I'm not mistaken. Again, TNA is not something I watch. I commented on Scott Steiner from NWA and Rock and Roll and Threats from NWA. Just because I happen to see them on YouTube. Other than that, I would have absolutely no idea what's going on there. You know, and then, you know, same with Ring of Honor. Just, you know, people fell apart. I know Madison Rayne was in Ring of Honor briefly as well. So, yeah, happy birthday, Madison Rayne. Last week's episode for NXT, you had the Dusty Classic Finals. That's, to me, that's the only match that truly stood out. The Broserweights beating the Grizzled Young Veterans. Great match. I didn't think the Broserweights were going to go all the way. I thought it might lead to a feud between them. And, you know, it still can't. You know, with TakeOver Portland coming there, they're in line after getting that win for a big title match against Undisputed Era. Does Undisputed Era lose the belts to them, or is there some implosion and maybe sets up a big-time feud? Who knows? Last week, you know, there were some promos and things like that. And this week, let me tell you, promos, backstage segments, it was intense this week. Last week you had a promo and it had like three circles, three colorful circles, one said 2, one said 5, one said 20. So, you know, you're looking at 2-5-20 being the next event being today. And to me, it had Velveteen Dreams, you know, smeared all over that promo. That was my opinion. You know, tonight we get a little bit of excitement with the return of the Velveteen Dream. I don't want to say too much too early. But, you know, just the way that was accomplished was absolutely fantastic. All right, so let's jump into tonight's show. So tonight's show starts off with a match with a guy who, you know what, to be honest, was on Monday night, and I was really surprised when I saw Angel Garza on Monday night. Their first match of the night is Angel Garza versus Isaiah Swerve Scott, who, you know, just, if you listen to my NXT reviews and things like that, you know, I'm huge on Isaiah Scott. I think he's fantastic. Is Angel Garza on Raw? I think he was put up there to continue the storyline in relation to Andrade being suspended. He is the cousin of Humberto Carrillo. I'm assuming real life cousin, possibly. I didn't actually look that up, but you know, they you know mentioned he's the Raw superstar, but he's on both. He just recently lost his cruiserweight championship to Jordan Devlin at Worlds Collide. You know, to me, I thought this was a great opening match. If you see some of the moves that these guys do, I gave this match like a 3.25 out of 5, 3.25 out of 5. You know, it was fantastic. One thing that, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago about the Canadian Destroyer being a move that is used very often, too often even, because it is a fantastic move. You don't want it to kind of like lose its luster by doing it all the time. But super kicks kind of have the same little feeling. You know, Isaiah Scott super kicks Garza at one point outside. He tries to somersault to the outside, but gets a super kick. And I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, it was to the back of the head. And it was unbelievable. Just the super kicks, the things like that, you know, that go on in this match. It was just, you know, Garza ended up finding an opening in the match. Isaiah Scott did hit his last call on him, which was fantastic. No, last call, that's Leo Rush. You know, it was good. It was an absolutely good match. Garza ends up hitting the wing clipper for the win. Kind of a short match for being as good as I thought it was. But that's the, okay, I don't want to say that's the problem, but that's the appeal of NXT. I feel like there's so many close calls. There's so many two counts, close twos, where you get those on the main roster, on WWE, Raw, SmackDown, on pay-per-views. You get that on the pay-per-views and on big-time title matches and things like that, but you don't get them on a show-to-show basis, and I feel that's one place where NXT stands out. Because you do have a lot of emotion. The crowd is super invested. Like, it's a small crowd. You know, it's at Full Sail University. It's a small crowd. But you have so many people chanting. And you have everybody chanting. It has that indie feel. And I feel like that's what makes the show so strong. Is you have all these, this feel of closeness. The chanting. You know, people are typically behind one or the other. There's a serious difference between heel and face. And it just shows in a match like this. I mean, both guys. People were behind both guys. Isaiah Scott, I would have to say, that people were behind him a little bit more. Garza obviously hit his classic ripping the pants off. You know, it was good. It was a good match. This is definitely, you know, if this is how you're going to start off, you're leading to a good show, in my opinion. Garza did deserve the win, but Isaiah Scott did have time to shine in the loss, which is fantastic. Now, after this match, Garza grabbed the mic and said he beat Scott. He beat Humberto Carrillo, who, like I said, is his cousin. He took out Mysterio. He said that he didn't lose his belt, which he's 100% true. He did not get pinned to lose the belt in the Fatal 4-Way at Worlds Collide, and that he's going to be watching Jordan Devin, who is in a match tonight against Tyler Breeze. Again, fantastic match. Great way to start. Next match was Dijakovic versus Killian Dane. Now, I don't know offhand if this match was specifically for, you know, because of the encounter that they had at Performance Center, which I know they played that during it. I did take a look at YouTube after to look at it a little bit more. This was, you know, a relatively long match for two big-time guys. The match didn't hold my attention very well. I would say it was about a 2 out of 5 for me. Wasn't too excited about the match itself. You know, it was good in the sense of two big dudes fighting each other. The positive with Dijakovic coming out with the win, he did look like the stronger fighter, the better fighter, which puts him in a good spot to be facing Keith Lee for the belt. And I'm super excited to see Dijakovic and Keith Lee. One thing I will say is Dijakovic hasn't looked great, and I've said this now for any time he's been on TV in the last about 3 weeks, that since War Games, Survivor Series weekend, he hasn't looked too great. Like, he hasn't, like, really stood out. Really excited to see him face Keith Lee again, because Keith Lee, I feel, brings the best out in him and quite a few opponents, to be quite honest, but I think he brings the best out on Dijakovic, and I'm excited to see that at TakeOver Portland. Next match was Casey Catanzaro versus Mercedes Martinez. Big Mercedes Martinez fan. They had, like, a little promo vignette earlier that, you know, talked about how she's been doing it for 19 years and all that. You know, match was less than 5 minutes. To me, it was a 1 out of 5. And, you know, no offense to either one of these women. I thought Mercedes Martinez was good, but it was essentially a squash match. And you had Casey Catanzaro, who I think is going to be, has the potential to be good. She is Ricochet's girlfriend. I feel like she just needs a little more TV time, which is good. But Mercedes Martinez has a chance to be pretty good. I would like to see her versus Shayna Baszler. I would love to see that one-on-one, face-to-face between her and Shayna Baszler. To me, that would be fantastic. Next match that came up to me was possibly the match of the night. Jordan Devlin versus Tyler Breeze. Now, Tyler Breeze, if I'm not mistaken, he cut his hair in the last 2 weeks. I still remember his hair a little bit longer. Maybe I'm just so used to Tyler Breeze with the longer hair. Kind of with the ponytail in the back, you know what I'm talking about. But he had nice haircut in this. And, you know, some of the moves in this match were good. Jordan Devlin and Tyler Breeze, I'm going to be 100% honest. Tyler Breeze, to me, is a better singles wrestler than a tag wrestler. And I know him and Fandango have a good thing going, Breezango, and it can be kind of a comedy act and all that. But I really think that Tyler Breeze is good, and he's in a great spot in the 205 Live type cruiserweight division. But Jordan Devlin, like I said at the beginning of the show, Jordan Devlin's fantastic. I'm happy that he has a chance to see him on TV because, you know, I've watched NXT UK just leading up to Worlds Collide. Am I going to stick being consistent watching UK unless it's a pay-per-view? No. But the Jordan Devlin's fantastic. I'm glad he's a Cruiserweight champion. I'm glad he has a time to shine on TV and, you know, show his skills, because I was hooked on him when he faced Finn Balor at the first Blackpool. So, you know, it's great to see him more on a week-to-week consistent basis at this point. But as I said with this match, I mean, this to me was the match of the night. in overall quality. You know, the first match had, you know, you look at it, and when I say, you know, top matches, you got Swerve Scott and Jordan Devlin, and I think both are fantastic. But to me, this was match of the night. I give it like 3.5 out of 5. To me, this was the best one on the show. I'm going to lead into, usually I do promos after, but before we get to the main event, I want to kind of lead into some promos that happened, because they happened during all these events. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the way the show started. And this is all going to lead up to our main event, which is why I want to do that now, not after. So you got the Broserweights came out to start the show. They were in their own little custom golf cart, which to me was a little strange. I mean, Pete Dunne looks in it, but also not in it, you know, at the same time. Undisputed Era comes out, interrupts them at one point. You know, they were talking about Bobby Fish, said they had bigger fish to fry. And, of course, Matt Riddle makes the joke about how he used the word fish, and he asked Pete Dunne, how much fish could Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry fish? You know, the classic woodchuck type riddle. And, you know, the crowd starts chanting it, which, again, I thought was a little cheesy. But Dunn said all that matters is that they're going to take on Undisputed Era takeover. So as we continue through the day, you have, you know, they end up leaving, and you have Undisputed Era looking for Tommaso Ciampa. So they run into some guys backstage, end up shaving part of this dude's hair off. Later on, they're backstage, and they ask Kushida if he knows where Ciampa is. He doesn't answer them quick enough. They shove him. He attacked, but Cole slams him through a crate on the side. Bronson Reed randomly pops up, and, you know, Undisputed Era, of course, standing there, we don't want any problems. And Roddy Strong sneaks in with a jumping knee. And then, you know, later on, as they're still looking for Tommaso Ciampa, Ciampa sneaks up behind and takes one of them out. Of course, the rest attacked, and he ends up making it, you know, where it's just cold, and they end up heading and fighting out into the arena. Ciampa slammed Cole's head into the announce table, and then, of course, the rest of the Undisputed Era come out and start beating him down. Once they get him in the ring, then the Broserweights come out, which, you know, kind of sets up the beginning of the show, how there was a little bit of, you know, back and forth there. As security comes out, William Regal comes out, and he said that, he, you know, these teams are going to face each other. Which, again, at this point, you don't know if it's 3-on-3, 3-on-4. You know, eventually security gets control. So this is going to be our main event, which is the reason that I wanted to bring that out before this, the final match that I'm going to discuss, just because, you know, obviously it's like, where did this match come from? Clearly, this is where. So, yeah, the Broserweights and Tommaso Ciampa versus Undisputed Era. Now, all six guys in this are in the title match or having the title match at the TakeOver Portland. So you got Undisputed Era versus Broserweights and Adam Cole versus Tommaso Ciampa. So that's kind of like your matches and how they come about for TakeOver Portland. So again, this was a fantastic match. It ended up being 3-on-3. It was just Undisputed Era minus Roderick Strong, who was in this. Strong ends up interfering, which causes a DQ, which, you know, was a good end to the match, in my opinion, just because it kind of set up what would happen in post-main event. You know, it was a good match that, like I said, led to the great angle, but it wasn't, to me, it was like a 3.25, maybe about a 3 out of 5. It wasn't spectacular. Again, you know, top match of the night, Jordan Devlin. Second one was Isaiah Swerve Scott. And this one, I would say, would be the third. Now, there were a few matches in this. What was it, 5-4 matches total? It wasn't, you know, a hugely wrestling full card. You know, 5 matches, I guess it was. And, you know, it was, that's how kind of how it's been. I mean, it sets up their matches. You know, Cole has beaten Dunn and Riddle separately. You know, do you see Roderick Strong you know, getting back the North American Championship from Keith Lee. I mean, Keith Lee kind of looks like he's moved on. So, you know, there's a lot of stories in this. You know, Pete Dunne originally was turned on by Roderick Strong back in one of the tag team classics 2 years ago in the Dusty Classic. So, you know, you've got a lot of story here. Now, so after the match, this is what I wanted to talk about after the match, because this is a match that I want you to watch. I'm not going to go through the details on any of these matches, but post-match, to me, is where it got good. So, the Undisputed Era is, they're taking on the all three. They're just working their 4-on-3 advantage, you know, classic Undisputed Era. And then Pete Dunne gets taken out. Matt Riddle's taken out. Ciampa gets taken out. Cole gets a spray can out and paints an X on Ciampa's back. Which is pretty much what Ciampa did to the table before signing the contract. Cole calls Ciampa a joke. He removes a knee pad, but the lights go out. Now, at this point, you know, the lights go out, and I'm sitting there thinking the whole time it was going to be 4-on-4, and Velveteen Dream would come out. But it didn't happen. It was obviously a 4-on-3 match. So the lights go on, the 2-5-20 video comes up on the screen, and then it turns into Velveteen Dream's face. Now, this is where it got really cool, which, you know, I thought, you know, Velveteen Dream got taken out by Undisputed Era. Specifically, he was in a feud with Roderick Strong at the time for the North American Championship. Velveteen Dream, out of nowhere, appears on the top rope and leaps off with a crossbody block on the entire Undisputed Era. You know, he ends up taking everybody out. He super kicks and gives a Dream Valley driver. And of course, he dances in Roderick Strong's face before attacking him and posing for the crowd. It was absolutely fantastic. Great way to reintroduce Velveteen Dream to the show and to everybody. I thought it was fantastic. To me, that's what made the main event really good, was the end, because the match itself was so-so. I mean, you don't need these guys going in on each other like crazy. So that leads us to a couple more promos, but first, what stood out match-wise? Obviously, Jordan Devlin's match was at number one with Tyler Breeze, and I will say Tyler Breeze looked fantastic in that match as well. Then you had Angel Garza and Isaiah Swerve Scott, and then, of course, the main event and the return of the Velveteen Dream. Now, two more promos to me that stood out, and then we're going to talk about TakeOver Portland briefly. Mauro Ranallo conducted an interview with Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor, like a split-screen interview. Balor brought up how Gargano was hurt at the end of last year. You know, Balor said that he's wanted it. You know, kind of, he doesn't understand the hype of Johnny TakeOver, if you want to call him that, Johnny Wrestling, but Johnny Gargano. You know, Gargano is, he reminds him that he's the first Triple Crown winner. Balor said he doesn't care if this is match of the year. Gargano says he sees, you know, the NXT Balor is not the same guy who lost on Raw. And I think he said 17 times in a row to Bobby Lashley, which, you know, that's not true. That sounds more like Rusev to me. Balor says that Finn is dead and this will be Johnny's last match of his life. Johnny then said he's going to drive the NXT flag through Finn, through his heart, and Finn says he has no heart. He got a little dark at the end. Got a little dark, you know. You know, I don't know if Finn Balor says it's going to be his last match. You know, maybe it is. Maybe he beats Johnny Gargano and he goes to Raw or SmackDown. Maybe that happens. I don't think it should. I think Gargano should always be on NXT, because I think NXT is a totally different, you know, animal. I think it's something that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen all the time on NXT. And he's not going to get buried and just left on the, you know, the main roster like so many guys do who get called up. You know, Finn saying he has no heart and that it's going to be Johnny's last match of his life. You know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of darkness there. But it came over really well. I like this side of Finn Balor. I like the heel version. Maybe not so much the baby face. I love the demon version. But I just think that when he's got that look in his eye and he's just got that piercing look of I'm gonna kill you, you know, in lesser words, I'm gonna kill you. It's absolutely fantastic. And then the last thing for the show tonight was when Bianca Belair came out to face Rhea Ripley. Bianca came out and saying how Rhea forgot that she's gonna face her in Portland because she's busy going to Raw and challenging the Queen and blah blah blah. She calls out Rhea Ripley, but instead Charlotte Flair comes out. Big reaction. You know, Bianca Belair put on a show in the Women's Royal Rumble. Rhea Ripley ends up coming out, and Bianca steps in front of Charlotte, which Charlotte then puts her hand in her face, and Bianca kind of laughs and, you know, looks a little ridiculous on the side, to be honest. Like, it was a little much. You know, some of that Rhea's going to kill you chance going on. You know, Charlotte ends up mentioning that it's a conversation for champions. So Bianca should stand aside and fix her braid, which kind of, that, to me, that was the cringe moment of this, because you could see that's where things are going to go bad. You know, Rhea says she didn't disrespect Charlotte on Raw, so she shouldn't come here and disrespect them. They said that, Rhea said that we have a phrase here that says we are NXT. And so it was a good little time where, Bianca and Rhea, combined with a little, two versus one electric chair drop, except a face buster in the face, which was classic. And then Bianca and Rhea have like a nice little stare down, no belt off, just a little solidarity on the NXT side, which I do like. There's a little more solidarity on the NXT side than there is on Raw or SmackDown. I feel like people are more for themselves on there, where this, yes, you know, you're going to fight each other and you're going to hate each other, but it just seems like it's a little more of a family in NXT. So where do we go here next week? I don't know. I don't remember seeing anything or hearing anything of any matches or anything going on next week. I would assume Keith Lee would be out next week. Of course, you'll see the Undisputed Era. But it leads into Portland. TakeOver Portland, which we're talking, is in 11 days. So that's pretty much where the big thing is. So let's go over some of the matches. And, you know, next week, I'm going to give you who I think is going to win today. And next week, we'll go a little more into it. First match, you got Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. I don't see Rhea Ripley losing this. I do hope they stay away from a triple threat at Mania. Maybe Charlotte comes out and costs Bianca Belair and they have a triple threat. I'd like to stay away from that, because triple threats, you know, to me it's dangerous, because you may potentially change change champions for no reason, and it's like, oh, I didn't really lose, and then they win it back right away. To me, it just, like, it dumbs down the value and what the title's worth. Next match, you have Finn Balor and Gargano. To me, this is a toss-up. I don't know. I don't know if they go the direction with keeping Finn Balor strong. Johnny Gargano can lose and still stay strong, because he's lost so many, and every time he loses, people like him more. It's almost like him losing is actually a positive for his career. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? Next match, Undisputed Era versus the Broserweights. Again, Undisputed Era has had the belts for a while, on and off for a while, I should say. Is it time for them to give it up? Maybe. Do I see the Broserweights, some dissension? Maybe. I just don't see that this is a very strong tag team for the long haul. Great jokes, great, you know, strangely enough, great chemistry. But I do see the Undisputed Era coming out on top on this. Adam Cole versus Ciampa. I think this is the time Ciampa wins it back and heads and gets his WrestleMania moment. So I do see him winning this. Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox in a street fight. I think Dakota Kai has to win this to stay strong, because Tegan Nox got the win in a very below average, in my opinion, match on NXT last week. I think Dakota Kai comes out street fight, and it's going to set up them maybe potentially a takeover for a big blowout, big blow-off match. Then lastly, Keith Lee versus Dijakovic. You're not going to set Keith Lee up so big just to lose in his first true defense of the North American Championship. I think this is going to be a sleeper match for match of the night. But I do see Keith Lee retaining. So that's all we got tonight for the NXT review. I appreciate you guys listening. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. With any questions, comments, positive, negative, I would love to cover them. I'd love to talk about it and debate some of the stuff that people have to say. Until then, I'll see you next week.